You're listening to Evenings with Chris Barr
on ABC Radio Sydney, Canberra and New South Wales.
Now, how much thought do you give to what you like or share on social media? It's one thing to just to share something, but, you know, a simple like where you just sort of, you know, click on one of the icons and go, oh, yeah, I like that. If you saw a post by a colleague, say, criticising your workplace, would you think twice about liking it, though? For public servants, the rules around this are about to change. They're facing tough new social media guidelines to the point where liking or sharing a post that's critical of the government could constitute a breach of the code of conduct. And the guidelines go even further. Apparently, a worker could be accountable for comments other people make on their social media pages, like Facebook, for instance. Now, is that fair enough? If you work in a government department, should you be expected to toe the line, or is it some sort of crazy censorship? Natasha Hawker is an HR specialist and director of Employee Matters and joins me now. Good evening to you, Natasha. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Chris. Lovely to be here.
Were you surprised when you heard about this today?
Not really. I think there's an interesting trend, and to be honest, law has struggled to keep up with social media. It's raced ahead, and law is trying to catch up, and I think that's a little bit of what's happening here.
So do you think this is a little over the top, though? It seems very strict.
It is, but I think there is a blurring of the lines and the borders between what is our professional life and what is our personal life. And, you know, if you think about the example, when you had a rough day at the office many years ago, you went to the pub on a Friday night and you had a whinge over your beer or your bubbles or whatever you drank, and that was just contained to that small group of people. If you put something out on social media, you have no control about where that goes, and both the intended viewers and the unintended viewers may see that. It's difficult to delete, and before you know it, it could be seen by thousands and thousands of people and could be deemed to be, you know, slander in many cases.
You would think these days, though, that most people are pretty cautious about what they share, particularly about their employers, for example, on social media, or are people not that cautious?
Not as much as I would have thought, and I think it's a really good point you raise. Training is absolutely critical, because what you and I think is appropriate and know would be appropriate isn't the same for everyone. An example being only 2 years ago, we had put a job offer to a candidate who was excellent. But what happened was, as soon as he left the office, the ladies in the office Googled him and picked up his Facebook account. Now, what he didn't realise was his Facebook was public, and he'd had a whole lot of inappropriate conversations with his mates about female genitalia. Now, he had no idea that that had been seen by those soon-to-be colleagues, and they had to actually rescind the offer because the employees wouldn't take him coming into the office knowing his thoughts, and the client couldn't allow their client to find out that information about him. So he learned a very hard lesson about what you should put on social media and what you shouldn't, and about your privacy connections.
So are there companies out there at the moment training people? And if they are, how do they go about it?
There's not a lot of training specifically about, you know, social media training. We do it for our clients in terms of appropriate behaviour training. So what's appropriate in the workplace? And we talk through social media and appropriate use of IT and even things like passwords and, you know, surveillance. And surveillance is an interesting one, because this falls under the Surveillance Act in New South Wales in particular in 2005. And you actually have to advise your employees that you give them a sign informing them of the fact that their emails will be surveilled, and they will need to be careful what they write, because that could be used in evidence against them. Ultimately, the client or the company owns that email account, and it should be used appropriately.
So does this mean that we'd see companies saying, look, you might have set up a social media account independent of work, it might be your personal social media account, but we're going to keep an eye on that too?
Well, they can, because it's all open to the public. What we recommend our clients to do is, where there's employees that are doing their own social media posting, and if they are putting something out that might be slightly controversial, that they think about putting a disclaimer out there, you know, something along the lines of, the postings on my page are my own views and don't necessarily reflect, you know, the business that I work for. That's one way of starting to protect the business. But I think, you know, the first thing is to have a policy. The second thing is to train your employees about what isn't and isn't appropriate.
So are there sort of social media police popping up in organisations? I mean, who keeps an eye on all this stuff? There's a lot to watch.
Yeah, a lot of, in the corporate world, it's HR and also IT, because they can, you know, review the content that people are watching. I remember many years ago, I was mortified working in HR because Friends, the TV show, was really popular at the time, and I put in Friends thinking I was going to see Jennifer Aniston pop up, but actually I saw a porn site pop up, and I quickly ran my IT manager absolutely mortified, saying, I think I've just looked at something I shouldn't have looked at, and he thought it was hilarious. But, you know, that could have been triggered in their random audits of the fact that I had looked at inappropriate content, unwittingly at this time, but, you know, it could have been an issue.
Natasha Hawker is here. She's the director of HR firm Employer Matters, and we're chatting about these new social media guidelines that are being handed out to public servants. Do you think, Natasha, that the public service should be held to a higher standard and not comment on public policy? I mean, that's a difficult proposition as opposed to working for an independent employer.
It is, because then you get into the arguments about, are we breaching their rights to free speech? But I think, you know, it comes back to that blurred lines. It's really important, Chris, that people are aware that, you know, their comments go out there and it's hard to retract them. And something that might have been, you know, posted or tweeted it, you know, after a few wines, is very difficult to recall. And, you know, you can get yourself into some serious trouble, and you need to be aware of what you're posting and to a certain extent, you know, organise some sort of self-regulation of what you're doing and have a think about it. You know, I would always use the test. If my mum had read that when she woke up the next morning, would I be embarrassed by what, you know, she'd read? To try and give yourself some sort of, you know, boundaries of what's appropriate to say and what isn't.
I guess it's one thing to self-regulate. It's entirely another for an employer to hold you accountable for what other people post on your page or what on your site. How does that work in this sort of instance?
Yeah, I think they're trying to stretch to guilty by association if you're seen to be condoning some views. I think that's a stretch for me. I think that would be hard because, again, you don't have control about what other people say. You might have liked the post early in the stream and then it goes off target that might be different to what your views are. And unfortunately, you know, if you follow that framework, then you're going to get into trouble for that, and you can't get into trouble for what somebody else has done. It comes back to that code of conduct and what is appropriate behaviour in the workplace and considering what you need to do in your personal life as well.
So how soon before the law actually catches up and we could see, you know, this might end up, for instance, at the Fair Work Commission with somebody challenging an employer saying, well, hey, hang on.
Yeah, a lot of that, I don't think it's going to be long. And, I mean, those sorts of cases are before Fair Work all the time. You know, people who have been terminated from their role and then claim unfair dismissal, and it might have been because of an inappropriate conversation on Twitter, but it's how that person was managed out of the organisation. And often the reason why the person was terminated is valid. It's the process the employer follows that gets them into trouble. So that's what employers need to be very aware of. Follow the guidelines and the laws to the T.
All right, Natasha, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it this evening.
No problem. Thanks for having me.